So we have like a guest speaker who's coming, amen. And then for the event, it's called School of the Spirit, amen. So please come. It is a 3-day of events, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, amen. And then the pastor there, we come here and like you know and to and to teach us, you know, some things, amen. And then the itinerary is on the board, amen. For more information, amen, please speak to pastor, amen, amen. And then if we could have my ushers, amen, if we could all please stand.
Jesus, now he would die on the cross for you, for me, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's clap our.
Well, don't go anywhere yet. Stay up here. He's trying to get away from it. But today, you can go ahead and be seated. I will not be long, but I have to give honor where honor is due. Today, July 6th, is Pastor Meehan's birthday. And so we are so very thankful, amen, for him. And so he doesn't know it until right now, but we do have a cake back there for you. And we are going to sing very loudly and embarrass you the best that we can after service. So for the potluck, please stay and also celebrate Pastor's birthday with us. I just have a few things to say before I bring the word of God, but I want him to know, and I wrote this down so I don't get too, you know, emotional through this. I'm going to try to make it through, that he has dedicated his life to the ministry, and not many of you truly know what that means and what that really entails, and he selflessly gives of his time, his finances, his talents to this church and to the call that God has placed on his life as pastor here. And if you know pastor, you know he doesn't do anything halfway. He gives 100% to everything that he does, always. And so on his birthday, some may look and see his youth, but I see his wisdom and anointing of the office that he holds as pastor. And I am proud of the leader that he is. And I think I can speak for everyone when I say thank you. Thank you for your dedication, for the late nights, the hospital visits, the phone calls, the fasting, and for giving when there's nothing to get in return. For always being there whenever anyone needs you. We love you, and since we all can't get up and express to you, the church would like to give you these. I know that there's some more floating around out there that we'll get for you, but we want you to know that your impact is far-reaching and long-lasting. And so, happy birthday, Pastor. We love you. Okay, I'm very impressed I got through that. But if we could go ahead and stand. I know we've had you sit and stand, but we're just going to jump into the Word of God. I was excited to be able to preach today, not only because I just love the Word of God and I'm grateful for any opportunity I have to minister, but also I know I typically preach a little bit shorter and we've got food waiting, so I know that God's going to do a work and we'll have fun afterwards. But if we could go to Psalm 92, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen. But I'm actually going to read the entire chapter. It's not long. It's just a couple verses, I think 12 verses. But I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful passage and I'll talk about it. But in the beginning, it does say a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. And it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn or a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So I know it was a little long, but it's just such a beautiful psalm. But today I want to focus specifically on verse 10. It says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And so today I'd just like to talk about a fresh anointing. One more time, let's just go before the Lord and ask that he would touch our hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us today, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would bless us. Hallelujah. Speak to us today, mighty God, and help us, God, to leave changed and transformed by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I shall be anointed with fresh oil, the Bible says. In the Bible, people or objects, they were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or his favor. The word anoint, I got a slide there, it says it means to set apart, to authorize and equip for a task of spiritual importance. In the Old Testament, a person would be anointed for a specific purpose. It would be, they would anoint them king or a priest or a prophet. And so the act of anointing someone or something with oil, it is symbolic to the outpouring of God's Spirit. And as you can see, we still use the anointing oil today, but there's nothing powerful about the oil itself, right? You can go to the store and you can buy oil and have it in. There's nothing powerful about itself, but it's what it represents and what it symbolizes. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have access to the presence of God like we do today because Jesus hadn't yet come. They were making animal sacrifices because the perfect lamb hadn't yet been sacrificed. But when Jesus entered this world and he lived a sinless life, he became that spotless lamb. He took on our sin, our punishment, our consequences, and hung on the cross for you and for me. And that day, the veil that housed the presence of God was torn. And 50 days later, after the cross, God poured out the Holy Ghost, allowing his presence to enter into the hearts of believers wherever they are. And now, 2,000 years later, God is still pouring out his Spirit on those who believe. Hallelujah. And so if you are here today and you have never experienced the anointing or received the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? Because the anointing is the pouring out of God's Spirit. If you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can today. God has set you apart for a purpose, and he wants to fill you with his Spirit. Hallelujah. And so if you believe on him and if you repent of your sins, God will pour out his Spirit like oil, and you'll begin to speak in another language, a heavenly language. Hallelujah. And that is the beautiful anointing of God, the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so at the end, we'll all invite you to the altar. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, I just encourage you, it's a gift. God wants you to abide in you. Hallelujah. He wants to fill you with his Spirit so that his presence is not contained anymore, right? His presence is accessible to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And today, if you have already had that experience, if you are here today and you have been filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, then the rest of this message is here for you as well. And so maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been 10 years, maybe it's been 30 years, but the message that I want to bring to you this morning is that there is a fresh anointing for you here today. Hallelujah. If we could go to Exodus 30, verse 31 through 33, I'm just going to talk a little bit about that anointing. It says, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." So again, the oil, the Old Testament, all of it was a symbol, was a shadow of, a foreshadowing of what was to come. And so we can take a few key points from here, talking about the anointing oil, if we remember that it is symbolic of the Holy Ghost power resting on us and using us for a particular purpose. So it says it was not poured out upon man's flesh. And here I'm not talking about this flesh, right? Flesh and bone. But in Romans 8, chapter 5, or verse 5 through 9, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these." But hallelujah, praise the Lord that if we have the Spirit of God, hallelujah, we have the anointing. But I'm here to tell you, we cannot have both. We cannot be carnally minded and be anointed. If we want that anointing, if we want that favor and blessing from God, we've got to put off the things of the flesh. Hallelujah. We have to allow God to speak to us. And maybe we can't do some of the things that we used to do. Maybe our eyes are being opened to some things, hallelujah, that are not pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Because if we want to take the next step in our relationship with God and in our anointing, we cannot do it in the flesh. Secondly, it was not to be poured out upon strangers. Ephesians 2, 18 through 22, it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, when you take that step, and you receive that anointing, you are no longer a stranger, but you are a part of the household of God. You are anointed, set apart for a purpose. Hallelujah. And so we can have access through that anointing because of the Spirit of God. And thirdly, it was to continue through all generations. Judges 2, 10 through 12, it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto him, and provoked the Lord to anger. The thing is, we can't live on the past generation's anointing. We can't live off of our parents' anointing. We can't live off of pastors' anointing. And I will take it one step further, and I'll say we can't live off of yesterday's anointing. Hallelujah. Some of us, when we first came to God, when we first had that salvation experience, we began to pray and seek God, and maybe we were fasting and reading our Bible, and we were really dedicating and consecrating ourselves to God. But then over time, you know, life happens and we get busy, and maybe we allow the flame to get a little bit lower, right? The passion starts to wear, and sometimes we can get in the mindset, well, because I you know, had that season of my life, I'm okay. I can just maintain. Right? I can just maintain for a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, we can't live off of yesterday's anointing. Hallelujah. We have got to have the Spirit of God every day. The Bible says that it's our daily bread. Hallelujah. That we need to die to our flesh daily. Hallelujah. And so we can't go through our walk with God and have this once saved, always saved mentality, right? Where we at some point gave this consecrated time of our life to God, but no, it's now. It's a relationship, right? Hallelujah. And so I don't want to try to live off of yesterday's anointing, hallelujah, but I want it to be new. I want it to be fresh, a fresh outpouring of His Spirit, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons why I wanted with the scriptures that opening line, it said, a psalm of the Sabbath. This psalm was believed to have been written by David, and it says a psalm of the Sabbath. So it's a Sabbath, it was a weekly occurrence, right? And so he was singing or praising this unto God, saying, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And so that wasn't just a one-time prayer that he was praying. That was every Sabbath day he was coming to the Lord and singing, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. He wanted a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm also here to tell you that anointing is progressive. So if you have never received the Holy Ghost, if you've never had the outpouring of God's Spirit, that's the beginning. That's just the start of all of the things that God has for you. It's a beautiful and it's a wonderful experience, hallelujah. But there is so much in living for God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I'm going to just quickly look at David's life. He's the one who sang that, who said that, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Well, David was anointed three times in his life. He was anointed in the midst of his brethren when only God could see his potential. 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God is opening the anointing to any man after his own heart or his own will. Hallelujah. So the first anointing was simply that initial experience with God, that pouring out of his Spirit or receiving the Holy Ghost. I know it was different for David, but his second anointing was when he became king over Judah. And it was after years of just suffering, as unjust suffering, as a fugitive. But 2 Samuel 2:4, it says, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. This was the season, a season that maybe a lot of us are in, where David learned what not to do before he learned what to do. right? After that initial experience with God, sometimes we spend a lot of time learning what not to do, right? But sometimes maybe it's through trials, you know, maybe it's through falling into temptations. Maybe it's just life happening. Maybe it's just trusting in God. All of these things are learned through time of living for God and having a relationship with God. And so David moved past that first private experience, and then he was anointed king over Judah, and he began to learn how to walk with God, right? The Bible says that it's a race, and that we're on in this race, hallelujah, to make it. And so then we move a little bit further, and David was anointed king over all of Israel. And this was after years of consistently growing strong in war. 2 Samuel 3:1, it says, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." And 2 Samuel 5:3, it says, "So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." So now, after all of this time of war, of getting stronger and winning more battles, right? Sometimes that's what it's about, winning more battles with our flesh, winning more battles day by day. Hallelujah. And so many things in the spirit come only through consistency. There is an anointing when we learn how to pray daily. There is an anointing when we learn to read the Bible and study it and fall in love with it. There is an anointing when we commit to a consistent fasting in our life. Hallelujah. And there is an anointing for just not giving up. Hallelujah. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what the devil tries to come at us, hallelujah, when we stand and we don't give up, hallelujah, there is an anointing, hallelujah. There is a power, hallelujah, through the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. If we could stand, God wants us to keep moving, to progress, right? These anointings are progressive as we go through our relationship with God. And again, if you are here today and you have not experienced the presence of God, God is, he's here, and he wants you to experience that. Hallelujah. And when we come down to this altar, he will fill you with his presence. Hallelujah. And you will be anointed today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for those of you who just have a hunger to have more anointing, a fresh anointing, hallelujah, God wants us to move forward. He doesn't want us to try to live off of yesterday's anointing. The Bible makes several references to God's disapproval for things that are stagnant, unfruitful, or lukewarm. That's not what God desires for us. He doesn't desire for us to try to live in this in-between. I don't know if I'm going to completely commit my life to God, but I know that the world is wrong. This is this in-between. Hallelujah. But God has a special anointing. When you make up in your mind and say, I am in, God, all the way, God, whatever you want for my life, God, hallelujah, I am going to commit myself to you, to your word, hallelujah, and all that you have for me. Because remember, the anointing is being set apart for a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this altar is open. We can come down. Hallelujah.